left off in yesterday, in the middle of a discussion of Gilgul Shvua. So the Gemara had wanted to know, what's the source of Gilgul Shvua? Where do we ever find such a concept that if someone is chayiv one Shvua, once he's already taking that one, you could be megalgul on him a totally different Shvua? So we're in the middle of Daf, well, we got to the end really of Daf Chav Zayin and Beis. But just to make a couple of points, yesterday we read that the Gemara suggested that the source of Gilgul Shvuah is from Sota, that the Sota says Amen, Amen. So the Gemara had said, what is she saying Amen, Amen on? So she's saying Amen, Amen on all sorts of different issues. That Amen on the Allah, on the curse that she's going to suffer if she's guilty, and Amen that it's a Shvuah that she's promising that she didn't do what she's accused of. Amen that she didn't do it with this man, with the man that she's accused of doing it with, and amen that she didn't do it with any other man either. Amen that she didn't do it while she was in Arusa, while she was in Asua, while she was in Maris Yavam, while she had already had Yibum. All these cases, that's what she's responding, amen, amen to. So Tosos, I don't think we had a chance to mention yesterday, says, wait a second, how many times does she say amen? Right, the Torah says amen, amen. In fact, Tosfos in Talmud, only kolhani halok sivel trei amen. It only says amen twice. Where do you get to add in all these different things? She's saying eight different things with the word amen. So says Tosfos Yerushalm, michad amen mapik shapir ala ushvua viish ze viish acher. From one amen, we learn that she's answering to the Allah, the shvua, this man, and another man. Meaning, amen generally relates to anything that they had just told you. Someone says something to you, you say amen, that's an acknowledgement of everything that was just said to you. So everything that was said previously in the parsha, which includes the Allah, the Shvua, this man, and any other man, is what the first amen relates to, and what the first amen covers. V'alu shvua behedik siv beparsha, k'siv nami tachas yisheich. The Torah itself says that they say to her that if you have strayed mitachas isheich, so tachas isheich implies at any point tachas isheich, whether it be with this man that you're accused of or whether with anybody else, the Allah and the Shvuah are both explicit in the parsha. So clearly her amen goes on all of those things. The idach amen kaya arusa v'shemaras yom deloksiv beparsha. And the other amen goes on the other things, goes on no matter what status she had at the time, whether she was an arusa shomer siyavim, because that stuff is not said in the parsha. So that's what we add in with the second amen. But bottom line is, the Gemara had said, wait a second, how do you ever get to a point where a woman is a sota and an arusa at the same time? Don't we say tachas yisheich that the woman has to have already been a nesua at the time that you're making her a sota? So the Gemara suggested, well, maybe she was an arusa at the time she committed the crime, but at the time that the husband is being mashker her the mesota, she's already a nesua. So the Gemara says, no, that can't be the case either, because we have a rule v'nika yishmeavon that the husband has to be clean of any sin. If the husband is guilty himself of sin, so the water doesn't work on his wife. And in this case, the husband is necessarily guilty of sin. Why? What did he do? He slept with his wife after she was already suspected of being a sota. So since he slept with her after she was she becomes a surah labayla if she cheated on him. So since he slept with her, and he soon with her after she was already accused of being a sota, so the husband is not clean from sin. The husband is guilty of something. So Tosos over there also makes another important point. V'nika yishmeyavah nomer achmana, says Tosos, v'im tomer lukma kigon shabala b'shogeg, shalo yada adachar mikad denistera. Maybe she committed the crime while she was in Arusa. Now she's in the Sua. Maybe the husband is still Manuka Me'avon, because maybe he didn't know. It was only afterwards that he realized that someone told him that, by the way, you know that woman, that man you told your wife not to hang out with? Well, apparently there were two Aiden that saw her have Yichud with him. And he only found that out after it was too late. So at the time, he was a total shogeg. That should be considered Manuka Me'avon. Dakimukila Ali de Gilgul, Lav Manuka Me'avon, who imzin Sabarisin, Elkim de Shogu, Manuka Me'avon Karinabe. So the fact that he's a shogeg should be enough to call him Manuka Me'avon. Should be enough to say that he's clear of any sins. So it says tells us no. V'yeshlam de shiny hacha kimin shabashas hashkaa yodea shabala de iser bein shabala b'shog bein shabala b'mezid lav Manuka Me'avon hu. If at the time that you're being mashke the sota, at the time that the husband is being mashke his wife, is giving his wife to drink, he knows that he had committed the sin, you can no longer call it Manuka Me'avon. Granted, he only did it b'shogeg at the time that he did the sin, but at the time of the hashka'a, if he's already aware with certainty that he's already that he's done something, that he's done the avera, so then he's no longer menukah me'avon. Aval al yidei gilgul sheni yodeh b'shas hashka'a menukah me'avon karina bei. But if it's only through a gilgul that you don't know that she had done anything while she was narusa, it's just that once you're making her swear about what you suspect of what she did as a nesua, you're also making her swear of what she did as an arusa. So that's not, you have no knowledge that you're a sinner. You have no knowledge that you did anything wrong by sleeping with her after she was narusa, because you have no knowledge of her doing anything wrong as an arusa. It's only a gilgul that you're bringing her to. Right? That's what the Gemara says. That's where we know gilgul shvua, because otherwise it doesn't make any sense for a sota to ever be in a position, a sota arusa, to ever be in a position to take a shvua about what she did as an arusa. So why does she take a shvua about what she did as an arusa? Once she's taking a shvua about what she did as an nesua, so we're megalgel on her a shvua that she was also kosher as an arusa. There's an interesting discussion in the Mishnah of Melech in Hilchos Sota, Parabez al-Achachas, when we say that the husband has to be Menuka Me'avon, so to what extent the Rambam holds that Menuka Me'avon doesn't just mean that he has to be innocent in terms of his relationship with his wife, in terms of not having slept with her after she cheated on him. No, Menuka Me'avon means he has to be innocent in all of his dealings. Right? If he's strayed in the past, if he's done things that he should not have done in the past, so that's called that he's not Menuka Me'avon. The Me'sota is not going to be Bodek his wife anymore. So the Mishnah Melech says, what if he did tshuva? What if he is straight in the past, but he's done tshuva since then? Right. So this relates to the Tar Shabbat Shuva topic. Right. When a person does tshuva, to what extent does it undo how we're going to relate to the person down here? So this is a tricky one, because we know a person murders somebody and does tshuva, Beis and Shalmata is still going to punish him. And we had all the different shittos about why that's so. Why does Beis and Shalmata still punish him? The Noda Yehuda and Rav Tzadok and the Chida, right? All different interpretations of why Beis and Shalmata would punish someone. Over here, it's not really Beis and Shalmata punishing the person, right? We're giving the woman the Meisota. We're saying the Meisota doesn't work if he's Menuka Me'avon. So that's really Klapei Shamayim Gali. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows whether he's Menuka Me'avon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make the Me'sota work if he is Menuka Me'avon and not if he's not Menuka Me'avon. So it's sort of up in Dinei Shamayim where you would assume tshuva should work. If the husband did tshuva, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu should make it that the Me'sota will work, because up in Shamayim tshuva does work. But on the other hand, whether or not we're mashke her the Me'sota depends on whether we think he's Menuka Me'avon. So we sort of have to make a call. Is this guy Menuka Me'avon or not? Because if he's not Menuka Me'avon, then we're going to need to say, sorry, you can't give your wife the Me'sota. So since Beis Din has to make a determination, there's certainly room to argue that there's no room for tshuva over here, because it's a din in Beis Din Shalmata. Klapei Beis Din Shalmata, the idea of tshuva doesn't work. It only works in Beis Din Shalmata. So that's the discussion. Mishnah Melech has a discussion about this topic, whether tshuva works over here. But anyway, that's the source of Gilgul Shvua. Gilgul Shvua comes from Sota. So it says the Gemara, two lines from the bottom of Zayin Beis, Ashkan Sota di Sura, Mamonu min Alan. So we find, yes, Gilgul Shvua works by Sota, which is an issue of Isser Veheter, but where do we ever find that Gilgul Shvua works by Dine Mamonus? What's the source that Gilgul Shvua works by Dine Mamonus? Now, it's true, Sota is also a Dine Mamonus issue, because she's going to lose her Ksuba. But the Dine Mamonus issue is more of a side issue, meaning the Gemara is saying, perhaps the only reason you're able to be Megalgal Shua by Sota is not because of the Dine Mamonus Shebo, it's not because of the Dine Mamonus aspect of it, rather it's because of the Isser Veheter aspect of it. So how do I know in a case where you have only Dine Mamonus, where it's not also Isser Veheter, that Gilgul Shua can work? This is, Rav Shaft always likes to quote the Gra. The Gra says, interprets the Pasuk Gra in Chumash, Bein Dam Ladam, Bein Din Ladin, Bein Nega Lenega, relates to three separate areas of Torah that we don't learn one from the other. Normally it says something in the Torah, so you assume it applies to all other places, right? But that's limited in the sense that the Torah is really split into three sections. There's Dam L'Dam, Din L'Din, and Nega L'Nega. So Din L'Din is the easy one, that's Dine Mamonus, right? Mamonus is one category. Dam L'Dam is Isser V'Heter, it's another category. And the third category, Nega L'Nega, is Tumah V'Tahara. So generally speaking, you can't just apply something learned by one of these three categories to any of the others. So that's what the Gemara is asking. I understand very well by Isser V'Heter, good, you now have a source that there's such a thing as Gilgul Shvua by Isser V'Heter. But where do you have a source that in another category, Bein Din L'Din, that when it comes to Dine Mamonus, that you also have a concept called Gilgul Shvua? Tandaber Reb shol kal v'chomer. We have a simple kal v'chomer. Umas sota shlo nitna lihitava be'ed echad megalgalin. If by sota, where a woman can never become a sota, she can never find herself in a position of drinking the mei sota, based on the testimony of one witness, still we're able to be megalgal shvua on her. What do you mean it can't happen based on the testimony of one witness? In order to become a sota, you need at least two edim that saw that she had yichud, that saw the stira, right? The husband has to be mekanaher, and then she has to be nistera, she has to have yichud with the guy in order for it to be considered a sota. When we were learning sota, we discussed to what degree the stira of a sota relates to the general halachos of yichud with the man, right? That the halacha generally is with two men and one woman, it's not yichud, but if a husband is mekane his wife, not to be with two men, so it could be that that's still a violation of the stira. So it's probably not best translated as the word yichud, but it's that idea, that she went in seclusion with this man, so that you need to have two edim for. So if we're so easily willing to throw on an extra shvua in a case where normally the standards are higher for what's going to take to make her take the first shvua, you need two edim to make her take the first shvua. So in a case where the standards are lower, like Medina Mamanis, where the first shvua you'll be chayiv even al pi eid echad, so then for sure we'll throw in another shvua. We're less hesitant to make you take a shvua by Dina Mamanis in general, so we'll make you take a shvua even when Ali de Gilgal. So that's the Kal V'Chomer. What's this idea of Eid Echad by Mamon? So that's a halach in the Torah that two Eidim say that Reuven owes Shimon $100, Reuven has to pay Shimon $100. End of story. The Torah says, we dash from the Torah that if Reuven says you owe me $100, Shimon says I owe you 50, also chiv shvur daraisa, modu b'miksas. Also, Reuven says you owe me $100, Shimon says I owe you nothing. And an Eid Echad says, Reuven's right, Shimon owes him $100. So there's a chiv shvur midaraisa in that case. There's a big discussion what the nature of that shvur's Eid Echad is. Because there's a machlokas rishonim, Mesech HaShvus, I happen to be learning Mesech HaShvus in yeshiva this year, there's a machlokas rishonim in Mesech HaShvus that we know when it comes to the Shvur Modem Mikzas, we darshan from the Pesukim, that there's a minimum money amount that has to be at stake in the Shvur Modem Mikzas in order to be Chai V'Shvur. And that minimum amount is Shtei Kesef. If it's less than Shtei Kesef, then you're not going to be Chai V'Shvur. Pashtus is, the most pashtus svara for that is, even though it's a pasuk, most pashtus svara for it is that shvua is a very big deal, shvua is a very serious matter, and we're not going to be mechayev shvua on little things. We're only going to be mechayev shvua on something that's really a davar chashuv, something like shtei kesef, which is really a davar chashuv. The question is, what about other shvuas? Shvuas hashomrim and shvuas eid echad. Is there a din of shtei kesef by other shvuas? So the Rambam and the Rosh both say by shvuas eid echad at least, there's no chiyuv shvua when it's less than that. There's no requirement of shtei kesef. You're chayuv shvua even if it's less than shtei kesef. Tosfos, however, says there is a requirement of shvua. There is a requirement of shtei kesef, and therefore you're only chayuv shvua even a shvua seid echad when it's shtei kesef. So the Reb Chaim explains. The Reb Chaim is quoted. I don't think it's in Reb Chaim in his Grach al Rambam. I don't think it's in his Sefer. I think it's in the stencils. Reb Chaim says that the issue, in explaining the Rush, why the Rush would say Shtei Kesef applies to Shavuos Hashomrim, and Shtei Kesef applies to Shavuos Modem Mixas, but not to Shavuos Eid Echad. So Reb Chaim explains that it's a machlokas. What the Rush is discussing, and what the Rush holds, is a fundamental issue relating to what makes a person chayiv shvua. Is an Eid Echad when they have an Eid Echad testify against you? So we know the Torah says you chayiv shvua. Is it because an Eid Echad is enough to be mechayiv shvua, or do we say no? An Eid Echad is not mechayiv shvua. An Eid Echad is mechayiv mamon. Just like two Eidim are mechayiv mamon, an Eid Echad is mechayiv mamon. The only thing is, we give you an escape. We give you an out. We tell you that if you don't want to pay the money, so you're allowed to take a shavua instead. So that's the issue. That do you assume that Eid Echad is Mechayev Shvuah straight up, or do you say no, an Eid Echad is Mechayev Mamun, but the Nitva has the option of getting out of it by getting out of the Mamun by taking a Shvuah? That would be because the Eidus of Eid Echad is not as strong as the Eidus of two Eidim, and that's why we give the person the escape clause to be able to take a Shvuah. So you could say that Eid Echad doesn't require Shtei Kesef, just like when two Eidim tell you that you're chayiv mamon. There's no minimum of shtei kesef. If two edim come and say you're chayiv mamon, even if they say you're chayiv a pruta, you have to pay a pruta. There's no minimum of shtei kesef. So if you view Eid Echad as being just like two edim, as a mechayiv mamon, then there shouldn't be any requirement of shtei kesef. But if you view Eid Echad as a totally different thing, Eid Echad is mechayiv a shvua, so then it's a din in shvua, right? And the din in shvua is that you need a minimum of shtei kesef, because we wouldn't be mechayiv a shvua for less than shtei kesef. So that really relates to what the ikur chiyuv of Eid Echad is. Okay, I realize it's a little off topic, but I'm learning shvuas in yeshiva, so I have to say it. So it says in Gemara Vayter, Ashkem bevadai, safek minalan. So granted, we find when you have a vadai claim on somebody that he owes you money, so then you can be megalgali shvua on him. But what about in a case of safek? How do we ever see you could be megalgal shvua on a person in the case of safek? So frekt Rashi really, and Tosos as well. I understand. What do you mean, safek minalan? Sota itself is a case of safek. Isn't that the very definition of a case of sota? You don't know bevadai that she did anything. By definition, it's a case of safek. That's where we learn the whole concept of safek tuma. Rishos hayachid is tame. Right, that we assume the worst about a safek tumah rishos yachid from sota. Sota is by definition a case of safek. So if you look at Rashi, Dibra maskul minalan, imi kavachom lo dami. The sota kol shvuasa safek. The Google nami safek. That's not the Rashi I wanted. Safek minayin, the previous Rashi. Taina shema could go on shvuasa shutvin varisin shachalku. If you only have a taina shema, you're not sure yourself. In the case of mamon, how do we know you could be megalgal shvua? The time of shvuas chalka shutvin varisin in yachal ashbiyo. Bekatayin eskayev l'shvua makamacher megalgal esakol. I'm sorry. I thought Rashi. Okay, Tosos. Yeah, Tosos. My body let me nolan, nelf kavach. Yeah, Vim Tomer. My body let me nolan, nelf kavachomer misotah. She suffering megalgan la. Avgav lo nitnul itava beirachad imkeni alfin is suffering misafek. What do you mean minolan? We learn it from sota. Sota itself is a suffering. Says Tosos yeshlomer delo dami. The hasam kol shavur shala suffering. Ulekach megalgan la suffering. Avol mamon the ikur shvua didei ain't a betayna safek ain't a lo megalgal safek. When it comes to sota, which exclusively the whole case of safek of sota is only by safek, so that's where it makes sense to say that there's such a thing as gilgul shvua by safek. But by mamon, where the ikur chiv of shvua normally is in a taynas vaday, so how do I know that it can be extended to a case of safek? So that's the Gemara shayla. Says Gemara Tanya. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Meichai Omer, Nemer Shvua B'chutz V'Nemer Shvua B'fnim. We know that there's the Shvua of the Sota is taken inside of the Azara, and the normal Shvua's Mamun is taken outside of the Azara in a regular Beis Din. So Mashvua Amur B'fnim Asav Asavik Kevadai. So we make a Memetzinu, just like the Shvua that it says B'fnim, but the Shvua Sota, we treat a Safik like a Vadai. Afshua Amur B'chutz Asav Asavik Kevadai. So to the Shvua that it says B'chutz, we also treat a Safik like a Vadai. So apparently we have this Mematzinu to compare a Shavuas Mamon to a Shavuas Sota. Frektosos, if we really have this comparison of Nemer Shavu B'fnim and Nemer Shavu B'chutz, and we're going to compare the Shavuas Sota to Shavuas Mamon, Frektosos in Tomer, Lamali Kalvachomer Dela'el, Lamar Shem Megalgalin. Why did we need a Kalvachomer previously to say that we're Megalgal Shavu by Dina Mamonis? Nails may hadrash gufei shem megalgal mamun shem nemer shvua b'fnim and nemer shvua b'chutz. But mematzinu, why don't we just use this mematzinu? What do we need a fancy kal v'chomer for if we already have this idea that it says shvua b'fnim, it says shvua b'chutz? So we're going to apply whatever dinim applied to one shvua to the other. So it says tosos yeshlomer di ilav kal v'chomer b'hai mematzinu da'achol lamatzinu lemelav the manu meisura lo yalfinan. No, we can't learn mematzinus. This is what we referred to before with the gra. You can't learn mematzinus from one area of Torah to another. From Mamon to Isser, a Mematzinu won't work. Mematzinu simply means that we say, look, if the Torah says something over here, it applies everywhere. You can't say that when you cross over categories from Isser to Mamon to Mentara. So the Mematzinu would not work. So then so what are we doing over here? Isn't that what we're doing? We're applying a Memetzino over here to teach me the concept that it even work, that you could do Gilgul on a Safek. He says, no. Once we already know a Kal V'chomer that links these two categories, that links the category of Shvua on Mamon to Shvua on Isser, then Imkein Mehashim of Kinyashapir Baham Memetzino Lasa Safek Evadai. Then we say, they're already linked. Okay, so now we can learn a Memetzino from one to the other, and say that the details in terms of whether you're going to be Megalgal or Shvua Safek also will apply from one to the other. But we never could have learned the Memetzino had we not first had a Kal V'chomer to link these two areas of Torah, the Isser V'Heter area with the Dinim Amnes area. And then Tosfos just points out, Vomer Rebbe, Shalom al Kol Sfekos Megalgalin, that we're not going to do a Gilgal Shua for any Suffolk out there. Meaning, the idea that you can be Megal Shua Suffolk means, I don't know that you did anything wrong, but I want you to swear anyway that you didn't. Right? So we're going to allow you to do that. So Tosfos says, wait a second, within reason. For instance, a guy owes me a shavua. I can't just stop make him say, okay, now I also want you to take a shavua that you never stole anything from me, and I want you to take a shavua that your brother never stole anything from me, and that, come on, it's ridiculous. We have no suspicion, there's no reason to assume that he did anything. If there's no reason to be suspicious at all, you can't just make him take shavuos. When do we make him take a shavua? If we were partners, and therefore I was concerned that maybe you did something not so fair in our partnership, in the business, so then I could make you take a shvua, even though I have no hard evidence against you. But stam, I don't know you from anything, and I just make you take a shvua left and right, that absolutely not, you can't do. There's a limit to what we're going to allow in terms of Gilgul Shvua. Says Gemara, ad heichon Gilgul Shvua, how far does Gilgul Shvua go? Am Rav Yudam Rav, dam lehi shavali she'in avdi ata. You can even tell the guy, I want you to swear to me that you're not my Eved. So Frek the Gemara, really? To tell the guy to swear to you that he's not your Eved, by Eved we mean over here Eved Kenani. Frek the Gemara, what do you mean? If someone goes and tells someone else, I want you to swear to me you're not my Eved, that's the same as going and calling him an Eved. It's me going to you, who's just a normal Jew, in the street and saying, you're an Eved Kenani. You know what you do to a guy who says that? We put him in a cherim for accusing someone else of being an eved. Ditnan, the Bach changes it to ditnan. Ditnan, akori lechavero eved. If someone calls his friend an eved, yehi benidui, he should be put in cherim. So Tosos over here points out, we say yehi benidui. Right, that's the lashon of the Mishnah. Yet the line before we said shamute mishamtinanle, we put him in chayim. Yehi benidui sounds like it's automatic. Shamute mishamtinanle sounds like we actively do it. So says Tosos, mikan medaktik rabbi mitam de kol hecha damer ki agavne ki aidin nedarim b'shamei askarim bi chavero hayechayv lenadoso. Anytime you have such a similar lashon that yehi benidui, it means hayechayv lenadoso v'lonido hu atzmo yehi benidui. Meaning, I'm sorry, like it says in nedarim, if you hear an askarim bi chavero, you're chayv to be menadim, and if you don't, hu atzmo yehi benidui. So says Tosos, what does it mean yehi benidui? Lo she yehi memela. It doesn't mean that you're automatically in nidoy. Rather, ele beizin lo yuchayavim l'nidoso. It means that beizin has an obligation to get up and put you in nidoy. Kedam racha shamute mishamtinanle. And Tosos medayik from the way the Gemara understood the words yehi benidoy means shamute mishamtinanle, that we actively go and put him in cherim. V'hainu mida k'neged mida, and this is in fact the mida k'neged mida over here. When you call someone an eved, you get put in cherim. Why? Kolomar hu kar lechaveru eved to hu arur. Right, we said many times, nidoy primarily is not about not shopping in a store and not giving him an aliyah and things like that. Nidoy primarily is a curse that the person should die. Right, so you're putting a terrible curse on the person. So why is that fair? Because you call the guy an eved, and we know that an eved is an eved kanani. A kanani is arur kanan. So since you called him an arur, you called him someone who's cursed. So the mida keneged mida is that you get cursed. That bezin will curse you. Dahinu nidoy. And then Tosfos can explain why the next two lines are also mida keneged mida. Right? Mamzer. If you call someone a mamzer back in the Gemara, sofek es arbaim, you get malchus. Russia, you call someone a Russia, Yoredi Malachayev. We'll translate that in a moment. What about Mamzer? Why is it Sofik as a Rabbi? I want to get Malchus. It says, Sosuchena Kordel Chaver Mamzer, Hu Omer Shechaveru Avar Belav, you've said that he has violated a law, l'fichach sofek asarbaim kidin over belav. Therefore, you get punished with malchus for someone who violated a law. Wait a second. When I call someone a mamzer, I said he violated a law. When I call someone a mamzer, that's a machlokes tanaim, what it takes to create a mamzer. If Kohen sleeps with a grusha, is a child a mamzer? Right, so it's a machlokes. Whether chayavi lavin create mamzers, or only chayavi krisos, or only chayavi misus beizdin. So it's the shita that holds chayavi lavin. The Mishnah says, you know, kol chayt zoltav, get out of here, stop talking in these topics, because you're being marbe mamzerim be Yisrael. The Gemara looks very negatively on that shita that holds bilav. So sovikas arbaim is assuming that it's only chiyuv malchus to create mamzerus. So the Tosus Riyah Zakein, actually no, Tosus Riyah Zakein is on another point. Maharal says that the reason you're sovikas arbaim when you call someone a mamzer is because when you call someone a mamzer, and besides for that, when I call someone, the other problem with Tosus is when I call someone a mamzer, I said he violated a law. No, I said his parents violated an issur. I didn't say anything about him. So says Maral, no, the reason why it's Mida Keneged Mida is that when you call someone a mamzer, you're saying that the entire Yetziras Havlad, his conception, was Ba'avera. How long does it take for the Yetziras Havlad? Memyo, we assume that it's 40 days till you have the Yetziras Havlad. The Gemara in Sota says that for 40 days before the Yetziras Havlad, the Baskel comes out. That means at the initial conception. The first 40 days of pregnancy are referred to as the initial Yetziras Havlad. So since the initial Yetziras Havlad you declared was Ba'avera, so that's why you have 40 lashes. That's why you get Malkus. You get 40 Malkus. Rashi over here says, Sovikas Abama, you constant Makas Mardus, Vinichalei, Ha Minid. That we'd give a makas mardus. That's when you call someone a mamzer. This is not a malchus d'oraisa. So makas mardus, it's a big chiddush. Rashi saying that makas mardus is only 40. The Rambam holds makas mardus is as many as it takes. Right? The Rambam says, for instance, when the Rambam writes this by someone who's ochel matzah on erev Pesach. Right, the famous comment in the Yerushalmi is someone who eats matzah on Erev Pesach is like he's bol arusasa beis chamav. It's as if he's sleeping with Zarusa while she's still in her father's house. Right, so the Rambam says someone who does that, who's eating matzah on Erev Pesach, will malkno sachetetzi nasho. You beat him up until he stops, or until you force him to stop by killing him. Just keep on beating him until he stops doing it. So obviously the Chilek Yesh Shar Metzion V'Halacha explains in a number of places, I forget, we could quote a number of achronim, that the Chilek is that when you're trying to punish somebody, so then you stop at 40. Even if it were a makas mardus, but if it were a punishment for something, like over here, Rashi says this is a makas mardus, but you're punishing somebody with makas mardus, you would stop at 40. You don't just keep on hitting him, but when you're trying to prevent him from doing something that he's doing, so then you stop when you've prevented him. Meaning over here, you're not preventing him from doing anything. He already called him a mamzer. That's over. Now you're just beating him up over it, so you don't beat him up forever, because then there would be no limit. So you only give him 40. But when someone is eating matzah on Erev Pesach, and you're just trying to stop him from doing that, that's when you're makino so ad shetetzi nafsho. Good, so the Rishonim explain why it's mida keneged mida. What about the third one? Rasha yorid imo l'chayev. What does it even mean to be yorid imo l'chayev? Says Rashi, kolomer lezu ein bezin eskakim, aval humutu l'san oso, va'af l'mayit parnasasov l'eru l'umnaso. That bezin doesn't do anything about it. Yorid imo l'chayev is, if Reuven calls Shimon a Rasha, then Shimon has the right to ruin Reuven's livelihood. If Reuven owns a store that sells pizza, so Shimon can open up a pizza store that sells better pizza for cheaper right next door and totally ruin Reuven's livelihood. He could be Yorid imo l'chayev. That's how Rashi understands it. Now, interestingly, Rashi in the Maseches Bamitzia on Daf Ayin Aleph quotes two pshatim what this means. Yorid imo l'chayev says Rashi, Ragi liskotit imo ki'ilu iko ki'ilu balahargo. Rashi says Yorid imo l'chayev is not a punishment. Yorid imo l'chayev is what normally happens. Meaning if I call you a Rasha, so what's likely to happen is we're going to get into a fight, and you're going to want to kill me. We're going to always be fighting with each other. Not that it's a punishment that this one is going to do, is going to take revenge or whatever. It's just the natural thing that happens. And then Rashi quotes in Bamitziyav, "Ani shamati Rashi leiri l'tochum nasu shel chaveru l'mayit mezonosav shel chaveru." I've also heard that you're allowed to go and ruin his parnasa. But Rashi interestingly rejects that pshat in Bamitziyav. The pshat he quotes here, he rejects in Bamitziyav. He says, "V'kasha be'enai sheyatiru chacham li'yisrael li'na." He says, really? We allow that? We allow a person to take revenge? Isn't there something in, you know, something in the Torah about not taking revenge on people? How could the Chacham allow such a thing? The Gemara says that up until 12 years, you have to be patient with your kid. After that, you're Yorin Molechayev. What does that mean? A 12-year-old, it means you should stop his parnasa, you should shut down his store? What are you talking about? It doesn't. No, it means you get much tougher on a person. It doesn't mean that you shut down his parnasa. So Rashi rejects this interpretation of Yorin Molechayev, of stopping a person's parnasa. But Tosus over there says, he quotes from Tshuvas HaGaon and B'Shem Rabbi Tzadokon, Yorin Molechayev Rashi Lisrof Shlish Tevuaso. That you're allowed to burn one third of his possessions, one third of his tevua. Tosas v'tema gadol minayin lozay. He says, I have no idea where in the world he got that from. Meaning, where do you come up with such a number, with such an idea that you're going to burn shlish tevuaso? But anyway, that's the idea of yorei d'ima. That seems to be the issue of yorei d'imal d'chayev. Now the Tosas Riazakin over here explains that the Yorin Melechayev is actually Mida Keneged Mida. Tosas explained why the first two are Mida Keneged Mida. Tosas Riazakin says Yorin Melechayev is actually Mida Keneged Mida. Because when I call someone a Rasha, the minag is when someone is a known Rasha, people don't go to his store, people don't give him business, they stay away from a guy like that. So since I've done that to him, it's Mida Keneged Mida that he's allowed to be, assuming again, Rashi's pshat over here of what Yorin Melechayev means, so he's allowed to stop my parnasa as well, he's allowed to ruin my parnasa. But bottom line is, it can't be that Gilgul Shvua is, I want you to swear to me that you're not an Eved Kanani, because after all, I'm not allowed to call you an Eved Kanani. I get in big trouble if I call you an Eved Kanani. So says Gemara, Ella Amarava Yishavali Shalom Kartali Beved Ivri. No, I make you take a Shvua that you weren't sold to me as an Eved Ivri. For that, I don't get in such big trouble, because again, as Tosas explained, when I call you an Eved Kanani, the reason I did something very terrible is because I called you Arur, I called you someone who's cursed. That's why I'm put in Chayrim. But when I call you an Eved Ivri, I'm not calling you an Arur. There's no such thing as an Eved Ivri being Arur. So, frankly, Gemara, hi, Tainasa Malyasahi. Well, that's a really good taina. What does that have to do with Gilgul Shvua? That's a regular Shvua. You should be able to be mechayev him on that, because that's a really good taina. So mamona is like Abay. You're saying that he owes you money. I mean, you're saying you bought him as an eved. He owes you service, which equals money. So Rava l'taimei dam Rava eved ivri gufo kanui. No, Rava's assuming that in eved ivri, it's not just a dinei mamonas issue. It's not just that he owes you service. You actually own his guf. So it's more than just mamonas. So, frankly, Mar ihachi hainu karka. But wait a second, if you own his guf, then it should be the same thing as karka, right? Adam hukash the karkaos. An eved is hukash the karkaos. Someone who is a human being that you own, that's the same as owning karka. And the halacha is that you can't make someone take a shvua on karka, but gilgul, you can be megalgal a shvua on karka. So, what's the chiddush by saying even an eved? Of course, you could always be megalgal shvua on karka. So, no, mao the tema karku davdi and shidim azavni bitzina. Misa de Zavin Lesley Kala. Hi, Misa de Zavin Kala Islay. That an accusation that you owe me karka. So that is, people sometimes will sell karka in private, in a quiet way, and so that word doesn't get out that they're selling off the real estate. So since that could happen, it could be that you do owe me karka and no one knows about it because we did it bitzina, so therefore I could be megalgal shvua on you. But I might have thought that since when an evid is sold, everyone finds out about it, I can't come with a frivolous claim that I bought you as an evid. If that were true, people would know about it. Nobody does know about it, and therefore that shouldn't be enough to make you take a shvua. Kamashmalan therefore comes to tell me that it is enough to make you take a shvua. That since Neved is just like Karka, a claim that you're my Eved, that I bought you as Neved, is enough to demand a shvua from the guy. So the Rashi says that the Havamina, what we're going to assume at least at the beginning of what this line is referring to, is if I use money as Chalipin, meaning not using money as Ma'os Konos, as a form of money being Kona Midin money. Now, what's the difference between money being kona midin money or money being kona midin chalipin? Money being kona midin money means I pay you the value of the item. And because I gave you the shavius, the value, I now own the item. Using money as chalipin is not that I'm giving you the value, I'm just giving you a symbolic kinyan. So I give you a special coin, whatever the coin is, whether it could be a quarter, it could be a dollar, whatever it is. I just give you a coin. Not that it's worth the value of the item, but that's a symbolic form of kinyan, like the handkerchief. Right, that's all I'm doing. So that's, how do you tell the difference between when I'm using money as money and when I'm using money as a chalipin? So either I stipulate I'm not using this as money, I'm using it as chalipin, or I say, lift this up and then give it back to me, right, Chalip, and I can take it right back by money. If I'm paying for it, then I can't take it right back. So different ways to make it clear whether it's an issue of Ma'os Konos or an issue of Chalipin. Or let's say I'm makbid on a specific coin, right? I say I dafka want to use a silver dollar. Now, if I'm paying for it, I'm paying for shavius, it doesn't matter what coin I use. I can use any coin. But if I dafka want to use a specific coin, then the Rashba writes all these chilukim that how you could tell when it's money for shavius and how you could tell when it's chalipin. But basically, whenever I use money as chalipin, so as soon as the guy picks up the money that he's using as the chalipin, the kinyan is chal. Automatically, whatever I'm acquiring with that, the car I'm acquiring with that is automatically mine already. So, Kate said, how does this work? Hichlif shar b'para. If a guy switches, trades a shar, barters a shar for a para, o chamar b'shar or a chamar for a shar, kivin shazach hazeh, as soon as one of them makes the kinyan, nischayev zeh b'chalifa. The other one becomes chayev in the other one. Meaning, if I'm trading you my shar for your para, as soon as I make the kinyan, so I am now, you are now responsible for the shar. I'm no longer responsible for the shar because it's now yours already. Now, the Gemara is going to ask, what are you talking about? We were just saying that you used money. Now all of a sudden we're talking about trading a shar for a paro. Where's the money? What happened to the money? Right. So chalip in my nihu matbeya. Now, just first on the first line of the Mishnah, the chalipin that we're talking about seems like using a coin. Shema mina matbeya nasa chalipin. This seems to be a raya that you can use a coin for chalipin. And Rashi says, what's the problem with that? Banan kaimlan perkazav. We paskin maseches ba matzia de ein matbeya nasa chalipin, that you can't use a coin for chalipin. So I'm reviewed the hachi kamer. Kalanishon damim ba'acher. No, what we mean to say is not that you're using money for chalipin. No, what we mean to say is anything that if you were to give to someone else, we would need to evaluate its worth, meaning any metaltalin except for coins, really, is what we're saying, can be used as chalipin. Right? That's what the Mishnah is really saying, that anything that can be, any metaltalin that would need to be evaluated, that its worth would need to be evaluated, will affect the kinyan, and as soon as one guy is kona his part, the other one will be kona what he's trading it for. Dekanami, and the raya that this is what the Mishnah means, and it doesn't mean that you're using money, dekatani, ketzad, hechlev shar b'para, o chamar b'shar. Right? The example the Mishnah gives is an example of trading two items for each other, not trading money for anything. So Shema Minah. So therefore you see that this is the correct shot in the Mishnah. That we're talking about using metalpilin, we're not talking about using money. Frek the Gemara, interesting question. The Gemara is going to work on what was the Havamina? How could we ever have read the Mishnah as referring to money when the second half of the Mishnah clearly talks about a case where you're trading a shar for a para and you're trading animals for each other? How could we ever have had a havamina that we're talking about money? Says the Gemara, okay, halchi kamar. This is what I would have thought that the Mishnah was talking about. Peros nami avdi chalipin. Peros also, meaning that not only can money make chalipin, peros can also make chalipin. Ketzad, meaning you add in that line, the peros nami avdi chalipin, ketzad, hichlev basar shar bepara, o basar chamar bishar. The basar of the animal is considered the peros. Peros is lavdafka peros. It's anything that's not a kli is called a pri. So peros are the most commonly used non-kalim. So that's why we give the example of peros. But it's lavdafka peros. So but that's how you read the Mishnah. So kivin shezach zen is chayv b'chalipin. Says the Gemara, hani chal rav sheish hazam peros avdi chalipin. That works great if you assume that peros actually works to make chalipin. El rav Nachman demar peros lo avdi chalipin ma'ik lememar. But if you hold like rav Nachman that peros cannot be used as chalipin, then how would you have read the Mishnah? Again, this is all Navmina. How would you have read the Mishnah where the Mishnah starts talking about a coin and then switches off to Sharon Para? So Hachi Kamer, this is how I would have read the Mishnah. Yesh damim shein ke chalipin. Sometimes money is like chalipin. Ketzad, hichlev demei shar bepara o demei chamar beshar. What are we talking about? What's damim shein ke chalipin? So the case is as follows. Let's say I sold you a shar for $100 and you were kona the shar. Now you owe me the $100, right? So you owe me $100. I say, you know what? Instead of the $100, instead of paying me the $100, just give me a para. I'd really like a para instead.
So in that case, my mechila of that money, my telling you that you don't owe me the money, I'm not giving you the money, I'm not actively giving you money, but that serves as a chalipin. That's the damim shehem kechalipin. That I give you the rights to the demei hashar that you owe me. I tell you, you don't owe it to me anymore, so that works as damim, that serves as chalipin. Not that I'm actually using money itself as chalipin. My timer, Savlak Rabbi Yochanan, Dama Dvar Torah, Ma'os Konos. Now that works as chalipin. Why? Because really what I'm giving you is money. And we hold on a daraisa level, you don't need a real kinyan. Money itself serves as the kinyan on a daraisa level. You don't need to do a mashikha or anything else. On a daraisa level, money itself works. Umatamamru mashikha kona. Why do we say that you need mashikha, that money alone does not make a kinyan? Zera Shemiyamalan is for Chitachabalia. Why did the Rabbanan say that money doesn't work? Because I'm afraid that if when you pay me, let's say I'm selling you a car, and you pay me for the car, and now you own the car, but it's still in my garage, and then a fire breaks out near my garage, I'll say, nah, let the car go, it's not mine anyway. So because Chazal were concerned about that, the Chazal said that money can't work as a kinyan anymore, you need to do a mashicha. But when did Chazal say that money is not going to work as a kinyan? In a typical case, like the case I just gave with the car. But in a case that's atypical, in a case that's unusual to begin with, such as you already bought something from me and you still owe me the money from then, and then later I decide, you know what, instead of you paying me money, I'll just take a parah from you. Okay, so I tell you just keep the money. That's not a normal case of, that's not a very common case of money changing hands. So Chazal were never gozer in that case, that money shouldn't work. And therefore we go back to the din d'oraisa, that ma'os konos. Where do we have in the Torah that ma'os is konos, that money works in the din d'oraisa? So Rashi always says, v'nasana kesef v'kamlo. We learn from the pasuk, v'nasana kesef v'kamlo. Tosos, not Tosos, the Rambam, I believe, or the Rashba says, no, the Rashba says that it's a svara, that ma'os konos is a svara. I gave you the value of it, so I should own it now. That's it, it's a svara. But that's the point. The point is that on a d'oraisa level, really ma'os is konos, we assume, and therefore when it's a case that it's milsa l'shkiach, we revert back to that din d'oraisa. We'll discuss in a minute. Let's just finish the Gemara. Reish Lakish darb Meshicha mefresh min haTorah. According to Reish Lakish, it says Meshicha is d'oraisa, that it's not most konos d'oraisa. You need Meshicha min haTorah. So Hanichay Savel Krav Sheshes darb Peros Avdi Chalipin Metayitz Krav Sheshes. So he could explain the Havamin of how to read our Mishnah if you assume that Peros can work as Chalipin, the same way Rav Sheshes explained that it's related to Peros. Eli Savel Krav Nachman darb Peros Lo Avdi Chalipin Matbeah Lokani. But my Mukila, but if he holds like Krav Nachman that Peros don't make Chalipin and Maos is not going on a daraisa level, how would he read the Mishnah according to our Hava Amina that the Mishnah was talking about money? So you have no choice but to say that he holds like Rav Sheshes that Peros can work as Chalipin. Very important Tosus on the bottom over here. Shami Yomel Nisru Chitacha Ba'aliyah. Tosus deals with the following issue. What do we say? Money doesn't work anymore midrabanan because we're afraid that after I take the money from you, if I'm still holding on to the item, I'll just let it burn. If the Rabbanu wanted to make a takana, why did they undo the kinyan of money? Why did they make the takana that instead of money being kona, meshicha should be kona? They should have made the takana that you not only need money, you also need meshicha, that you need both. After all, if only Mashicha works, let's say I am Moshech, the item from you, and I have not yet paid you. And then there's a fire that breaks out next to my money, right? So I could say, money's his, you know, let it go. It doesn't really matter, right? So why did Chazal work it out in this way that Dafka, that Ma'us should not work at all? So Tosa says, Yeshlomer Deshamel Lepam Ma'yalokech Moshech Chitin V'ilokanu M'mashich L'chuda Yomer L'mocher Nisrufu Chitecha Ba'aliyah. Sometimes the Lokech will be Moshech L'chitin, and if he's not Kona with Mashicha alone, he'll know that even after I was Moshech, I didn't pay yet. So then the Chitim still belong to the guy. So if the Chitim still belong to the guy, I'll let it burn. It still belongs to him, it doesn't belong to me yet. And that's why there were goes that Mashicha should be Kona alone.